Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the premier broadcast of Unchained at Last, live on Tribe Family Channel. I am the CEO and the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Beverly Black, and I welcome you to our broadcast, a Gordavi LLC sponsored exclusive. Gordavi, GORDAVI.com. Today's testimony is by Mr. Albert Betts, an author who served 27 years behind bars, but is unchained at last, with a lot to say and many books in queue. Many of us have a story of having been set free from something in life. What's yours? Call in with your questions. Tune in just to listen. Email us to be a guest at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. You can also be a sponsor or a show moderator, and we welcome advertisers. We have MP3 commercial spots available. We are heard worldwide. So, ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand, Beverly Black, me, your moderator, I am proud to welcome Mr. Albert Betts, Unchained at Last. How are you today, Mr. Betts?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I, too, am unchained at last. But we're not going to go down my row. just yet. I want to know about this brother. You know, 27 years, my brother, that's on that Mandela, Nelson Mandela level. I mean, I got to give you your props. You out here and you doing other things. You're an author. But I want you to take my listeners and myself back to the beginning. Who is Albert? Where is Albert from? What type of child did Albert become? And walk us through your journey and bring us up to high school, and then I'll ask you something else.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a lot. How can I start, man?
I'm
born in Little Rock, Arkansas, but I was raised in Flint, Michigan. I was raised by a single mother.
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah. I was raised by a single mother until she, you know, got with someone. He's a very good man by the name of Bruno, Lawrence Burns, my stepfather, a working man, took care of me, my sisters and my mom. Of course, you know, I always had a father figure, my dad, you know, he was always a working man too. So that's where I got it from, you know. And I was raised by good parents. As I grew up, you know, I tend to take on doing things that I want to do, you know. But just because your parent, just because you grew up and do the things that you do, doesn't mean you didn't have good parents. Now, don't get me wrong. Some parents are kind of, you know, over the head, you know, do things they do. But I'm speaking for the ones who have had the ability to do right from their parents. But at the same time, you know how it goes. It's always struggles. So, you know, I'm not putting no one down. You know, I'm not putting no one down, even though they had bad parents. I'm just speaking on the ones that I had, you know, that was in my life. And I still did what I want to do regardless. My story, you know, mine was bad. I did what I want to do as I got older. So, you know, not my sisters.
So I think you're speaking for all of us. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I wanted to just, you know, let you know that I think, you know, as a kid, we all kind of, you know, took on a time where we felt like we knew, you know, and then we turned around and dealt with kids that, you know, now we see where you get it from. They know everything, right? And so, you know, we all, you know, took on ways of our own. And like you were saying, go ahead, you did it too.
Right. So doing my stint in the incarceration, you know, when I was like, 16, when I got locked up, doing my stint in prison, you know, my mom was always behind me, you know, a wonderful mother.
Before we get to that part, I'm sorry to cut you off. Before we get to that part, though, you know, you were talking about, you know, having, you know, good parents, a stepfather, you know, your father, the working men in your life. You know, these are reflections of good people, good men, and a good mother. And so, you know, as adolescents, we go out there, you know, doing our own thing, and, you know, we might get in trouble. But before the trouble came, you know, like how was school and what were some of the interests that you had, you know, doing growing up? You know, I'm trying to pass that up. You know, I got to know what songs, what the styles, did you have an afro and a Gary curl? You know, and I'm trying to pass all that up.
Well, you know, my mom used to make me get my hair cut. That's when the haircuts was $3 and $4, $5, you know, $40, $50, $60. But man, it went up. So you know,
she kept you clean doing cut my, back then.
Yeah, man. She made me get a haircut, man. So I kept her haircut. But you know, doing my time in school, I was a sports guy. Played sports.
All
and
right.
I went to sports real good. Yeah, yeah. And I could play sports real good, man. But which that's one way my favorite? Mama punished me. You know, when I did something wrong, she would wouldn't let me go to my games or wouldn't let me practice. Sometimes my coach would have to ask my mom, you know, could I go to practice or to the game? But she knew that's one way she can get me straight. By, you know, punishing me like that, you know. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I was, you know, I was kind of, you know, when I did what I did, man, you know, I wanted to go to them games. I wanted to practice, man. I wanted to play sports. So, you know, I had to get right to a certain limit, man, you know, and do what I had to do. You know, plus, you know, I was one of the best players, so I wanted to be there. You know, so, you know, that's
what
how that went.
What game are we talking about when you say sports? Are we talking football, basketball, or every season
played,
that came through?
I played football and basketball and baseball. You know, I was good at, you know, at all three of them. But my love,
doing track too?
I ran track too. You know,
so
I ran track. You know, me and my
all-around players.
Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah, all around. I did everything. See, it was a lot of things to do in Flint, Michigan when you was a kid coming up. You know, it ain't like that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it was
mm-hmm.
a lot to do. You know, now you see a lot of schools, mm-hmm. you know, tore down and things of that nature. So, yeah,
right. Well, so when you were growing up and into the sports, and then of course your mother used what she had in her arsenal, okay? Because you know you have to have some discipline in your household, and if this is what
you love,
then this is what I'm going to get your attention with. And you know, but it sounds like you know you were just like a real all around player with that sports, you know. Thing, you know. Now let me ask you this. So you said you wound up getting into, you know, other activities, say around the age of 16. So in between that period of time, you started wanting to do your own thing. Let me ask you, did it have anything to do with peer pressure? Were you starting to were you gravitating away from sports and the positivity of the parents' upbringing to, like, the influences that you saw out there, like with maybe older kids, they drive and they floss and they dress and they might even be, you know, slinging a dime bag or whatever. What attracted you? You got to tell me about that middle ground, you know, because I did my crossover too. You're talking to somebody that was out there for 8 years on crack. So let's not get it twisted
for sure.
About being unchained at the last, okay?
Yeah, that's what's up.
So you
got to
tell me about that little middle ground.
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, you know, Flint is a dope contested city. You know, a lot of people, you knew that was older. I knew older than me sold drugs and it was you know, gang banging. So you know, my mother at one point in time, she couldn't afford too much. You know, she gave us what we needed. You know. And I'm thankful for that to this day, you know, because that's how I still
come
carry
on.
Myself, you know, when it comes to shoes and clothes, you know.
Come on.
Because I can see a person and go get a $200 pair of shoes, and I can go get a $60 pair of shoes. It's on how I feel wearing the shoes. I feel like I can look better than you in the $60 shoes than you look in the $200 pair of shoes. That's just how I feel, you know. That's how I was taught. Get what you can get.
Right.
You know, that's
value.
One thing I learned from her, you know, and
values,
I carry
brother.
That on to this day. So, I began to want to have my own, you know, and I started selling drugs, you know, gang banging here and there. But during my school years, you know, I was bullied. You know, my mom never knew that. You know, I told her that, you know, probably about. I think I want to say last year, you know, she never knew that. You know, she asked me, said, well, man, why you never told me nothing about that? I just didn't want to, you know, tell her that I wanted to stand up and do what I had to do and fight, you know. But
Right.
I just didn't want to, you know, come running to her like, you know, I'm sorry or weak or nothing. I want to fight, even though I had to deal with it almost every day. Every time, you know, there's a project back down the street from where we stayed. Even though I had to go down to the project where my friends stayed, and I had to deal with it pretty much every other day, you know, every day, something like that. So, right, you know, all that played a part, in during my school time, you know, when I was in school, going to school, it wasn't that I didn't want to go to school. You know, I read, you know, and I was always good in math.
Well, let me ask you something. I'm glad you brought up math. Perfect segue, because I'm going to ask you about some numbers. What year are we talking around for, you know, the period of time where, because it sounds like, you know, you're just like all the other kids. You're starting to, you know, look at your self-esteem, and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm one of the kids that didn't want, I hated the shoes my mother, and look, I'm like you, okay? My mother, I was raised by a mother, a stepfather, and my father was our babysitter, okay? So,
right.
You know, and they all, right. You know, instilled good values and morals in me. That didn't stop me from getting
right.
in trouble. That didn't stop me from not wanting their old-fashioned fashions, you know? And I didn't like, to this day, I don't even like to shop, and I think that might have something to do with it, right?
Right.
But,
and you know, yeah, this, go ahead.
That's what I was going to ask you was, like, was it, like most of us, where we kind of wanted to go after some things and hustle our own way
right.
about acquiring things, and we didn't go to the
right.
parents. Can I have some money for some Nikes? You know, Nikes, if you don't, you don't see them. My mother used to buy us Oxfords, and we would drag them by the toe, trying to tear them up.
Right.
These things lasted 10 years. You can't tear up an Oxford.
Right.
So was that how it was? You was hustling to get your own fashion, your own ways,
your own means about it?
Okay, I'm trying to understand.
That's what I was doing. It wasn't minding, or I didn't want to do it with my mom or my dad or my stepdad. It wasn't that I didn't want to do what they told me to do. Just I wanted more things, you know, and I wanted to be able to get it, you know. But one thing I have to say, I was never really just fazed about no one talking about me and things of that nature, because, you know, I knew where I came from, you know. I was okay. I wanted what I wanted, but I realized, you know, I just came within myself. I was okay with having what I had, because that's all my mama could afford at that time. So I wasn't, you know, I had to, you know, tuck it up and move on, you know, do what I had to do. And I played sports in my tennis shoes, just like they played sports in their Nikes and, you know, Reeboks and Feelers. I played sports in my Pro Wings, stuff like that, you know.
It was what it was, and I ain't mad.
I'm not mad. I ain't mad.
Well, you
know,
I
love my mama for
brother.
That.
And I hear the strength of the morals and values that were instilled in you because of that. You see, it's a whole different level of kids when, you know, that we look out and see today. You know, ain't no way in heck nobody would be dropping off no hundreds for no Nikes and this and that when I was growing up. So I feel you on what you're saying. You know, and there was a shoe store in our neighborhood called Hudson Shoes. Now, Hudson Shoes, that even sound like the low bar, right? And it could have well been, because, you know, the downtown Stanford University, you know, when you go down that row, now, you know, you're shopping, right? But for the little neighborhood things, we may do, and I have the values that I have because of that, and I can relate to your value system. But I also hear, and this happens, but I can only be a testament to it because I've raised the boys. You see, I've raised boys
right.
to men. And there is a point in time where I don't care how good your parents have been, how well you're doing in sports, there comes a point in time when you click over and add from adolescence to puberty, and there's a change that starts happening in men. You're coming
right.
to manhood. You don't want to go asking nobody for nothing. You're manning up. You know, you're doing you. And so you may make decisions that don't line up with the morals and values that were instilled in you. How did I get on crack? Right. Same damn thing. Okay? But in a man, growing up from a young man to a full man, do you feel like going from puberty, from adolescence to puberty into manhood has a lot to do with that? Because after all, you're mentoring, I understand. You mentor, right?
Yeah, you're here and there. Yeah, I have.
You see? And so these are experiences that empower people when they hear your story. And so I want to hear that part, like how you mentor men in that changeover from puberty to from adolescence to puberty to coming into a man when something clicks that says, you know, I got this. And the parents, you know, you go undercover, you go stealth. Don't anybody even know what y'all be doing no more. Y'all just be coming in, hey, what's up, mom? All good, that's good, you know. Because I raised two sons, dude. Y'all was smooth with it.
Well, on that level there, you know, I try to give my experience of what I've been through to people the best of my knowledge. You know, only God know you better than you. And you only can tell it the way you can tell it when it's time to tell it. Mm. You know, you don't supposed to look for no words to tell. You're supposed to just tell it. You know, I was talking to this girl the other day, you know, and she was talking about her son being locked up. But, you know, I was telling her about my mom, you know, and I was telling her, you know, I had a life sentence. And I said, I didn't have no date, you know. I said, but your son got a date. I said, what my mom did, she prayed, you know, she did what she had to do. I said, but one thing you do know, your son are getting out. That's the biggest thing right there. You do know he getting out if nothing doesn't happen. I said, but your son would stay strong off the accountability of you being there for him. I said, because that's how I stayed strong with my family, not just with my mom, my sister. Mm-hmm. I had an auntie by the name of Ollie Betts. She passed away. You know, she was there for me. She came to see me at least one time a month. And I love her to this. I love that woman. I love her, you know. She would come see me all the time, you know. And it's just, you know, that's one of the people in the family that thrives, that used to thrive on making sure all the kids did what they supposed to do, you know. And I seen a lot in her when I got locked up, you know. We would talk all the time. We'd call her. She would tell me, boy, you better call me. I would say, well, auntie, I can't call you right, you know what I mean, the phone. She said, boy, you better call me. You know I need to talk to you, you know. And
wow,
I would call her, you
wow.
know. And she just, you know. So at one point in time, you know, she was coming to see me, you know. And I'm looking at her. She stood there telling me the ins and outs. You know, we backtracking home. how she used to whoop us, how she used to whoop the kids, make us do this, make us do that. But at the whole time, my auntie was sick. She was sick, man, you know. And so enough, man, it was cancer, man. And but, you know, I talked to her when I was incarcerated. I was on the phone one day. I talked to her, man. And we was talking, man, and she was like, she got real sick, man. And she was like, I'm sorry, man. I never understood why she told me she was sorry. But I will say this here. It's all because of discipline. If you find someone in your life, show you and give you discipline, then the people that you need, that's all you need. But even though, like I said, we still might do what we might do after we get that discipline, but still get that discipline, man, because that discipline might help you. You never know. So, you know, that's where I'll be at on that.
Well, you just dropped a whole lot of gems right there, and I really appreciate that because, you know, that sage wisdom that your aunt was dropping on you when you needed the most,
Yeah,
that sage wisdom is still down in you. And I know that drop it. Like you were saying at the beginning of the question, you said, well, you know, you say what you have to say at the time that it needs to be said. So anytime that I feel that you're mentoring these young men, you're keeping a very organic conversation on the level of how it's flowing. And I really like that because it just shows that, you know, you'll meet the person, you know, right where they are. What's good, you know? Let's talk about it. Just like me right here on Tribe Family Channel, if you're tuning in, we're going to take a quick commercial break. This phenomenal man, Mr. Albert Betts, did 27 years, y'all. Same thing like Madiba, Nelson Mandela. It's a certain resolve. Somebody has to be walking in to be able to do a bit like that and be out here to tell it on a station like this, live on Tribe Family Channel, y'all, Unchained, the premiere, Unchained at Last. Here we go with this commercial. We'll be right back.
Cozy Stone is a multi-talented comedian extraordinaire who has a real lust for life. She also combines humor and motivation, where she is known as a humorvational speaker. Her youthful ways and positive light make her a beacon for those of all ages. Cozy has lived a remarkable life that has paved the way for so many. She had the longest running open mic venue of 11 years at Tommy Rockers in Vegas, called Cozy's Comedy Corner, through which she introduced many up-and-coming comedians. Before going into comedy, she was one of the first female personal trainers and one of the top fitness trainers in the world. She has trained many greats such as Billie Jean King, Roberta Flack, Andrew Young, Ed Bradley, CCH Pounder, Al Pacino, and Earl Monroe. As a former competitive bodybuilder, she also owned a bodybuilding gym for women over 40 in Los Angeles for several years. She has worked in top positions for HBO, Playboy, and Tony Robbins. She also enjoys volunteer work, dedicating time to the New York Foundling Hospital and babies with AIDS. Cozy Stone has a message that shouldn't be missed.
Welcome back live on Unchained at Last. This is the premiere, and we are live in Las Vegas. It is an honor to speak to Mr. Albert Betts. This brother, like I said before the commercial, spent 27 years behind bars. And we're going to go deep into that level, that lane, and find out what life was like. My brother, thank you so much for your transparency. Tell us. Break it down. What is 27 years like? What is that like? How do you describe that?
Well, I'm gonna say this here. I'm gonna be real about this here. I'm gonna say this here. I'm a family guy. During my incarceration, my family was my mom was there, my sisters were there, I had a cousin there. She used to come see me all the time. And when I got out, you know, they was there for me. But I'm gonna say about the 27 years of incarceration, I did what I had to do to make it. And I built my time off my mom being there, my sisters. That's how I built my time. And I did my time knowing that I had help, knowing that someone was for me, you know. And just like my mom said, you know, she prayed and prayed and prayed, and she had said that she said that God had already told her that I was going to get out, you know. So, you know, we talked and we talked. But one thing, you know, when I was incarcerated, you know, I was watching sports one day because I was down. I was feeling down. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how I was going to react from this here. So during my incarceration, you know, I was looking at sports, and I seen some guys, you know, playing sports, and they played for Michigan State. And they won a championship, you know. And these guys I played sports with in school, they went on to go to school and play sports, and they, you know, went to the NBA. And I talked to my mom about that, and you know, my mom told me, she said, I understand. She said, I understand where you're coming from. She said, but you can't feel sorry for yourself, so you ain't going to be able to go ahead on and live your life. Because I was down by that. I was messed up. I felt like I had thrown my life away that I've seen it. So when she told me that, you know, I was like, man, I need to do better. I need to do this. I need to do that. So as my time went on, I stayed doing law work. She stayed giving me lawyers. My sisters, them, they would come see me. My cousin would come see me. They would send me money. You know, all my sisters, they helped me. Every last one of them. My cousin, all Sharon. They call her Shay Rock. My sister, Annie. My sister, Martha. My sister, Lawrence Ann. All of them, they all helped me, man. You know, they came and seen me. And I appreciate that. You know,
so
it made it better for me.
So let me ask you a question. When you say Shay Rock, are you talking about the hip hop artist out of New York?
No, but she did rap.
Oh, okay.
She did rap, but not that one. She did rap. Yeah, she did rap.
All right, but she's the other Shay Rock. I heard that. I like that.
So you had that
strong family bond and
yeah,
support.
I'm about family. And everybody that know me, all my family that know me, they know that's what I'm about. Tell you, if you ask them what man about, they gonna tell you, oh, he about his family. He about his family. He want all his family to get along. He want all his family to get along. No bull, no crap, none of that. He want all his family to get him. They gonna tell you that. If they don't tell you that, they don't know me. They don't know me.
No, I'm not talking to family members. I'm talking to somebody that don't know. But the ones that do know, like you telling me, because everybody that you've named, they're making sure that they are present. You're not on that journey doing 27 years by yourself. You know, during that period of time, you have all this family, you're sharing in their lives, they're sharing in your life, and then you were saying something as far as, you know, seeing sports and things being played and how were you going to, you know, make it through. What were some of the things in that immediate environment when family had to go home? What were some of those things that you would do in terms of, like you said, you continued, you know, studying law. Of course, you're going to make yourself knowledgeable about your case and everything. And, I know that you're an author. So did you write anything?
Right.
All right, go ahead. Tell me about that. Right. Tell our listeners about Mr. Albert Betts, that writer, that person that you want to expound about further.
Okay. Well, I started writing, man. I've been writing for, I know, 20 years or more. I put it like this here. Ever since I was about like 26, 27, I've been writing. And that's what I started doing. I started writing, and I started writing scripts. You know, I didn't start writing books. I started writing scripts. You know, I would write down ideas. But crazy how I learned how to write books, because as I continued to read and read and read, that's how I learned how to write books, by reading the book. I wasn't big on reading in school. See, I told you already, I wasn't big on reading in school. That was one of the main things that I could read, but I couldn't read. I was slow at it, you know, and that would discourage me. And that's why I really used to skip school and play hooky, because that had a hold on me, you know, and I would sit back and people would be done with their homework and stuff, be done with their work, and I'd be still doing my work. And, you know, that bothered me, you know. But that's how I became a writer, man. And, you know, and I continued on and continued on. And when I got out, My mom was like, man, you did all that writing since you were locked up. She said, why don't you get something published? Why don't? And, you know, I took that advice. And I went on and did it, you know, regardless of how much money I had to put out, regardless of what I had to do, I went on and did it. You know, like I said, I had my book signing. You know, I was very appreciative of everybody coming there. I'm talking about all my family members. I appreciate all of them. I can't name all of them, but I was so appreciative of all of them, man. I'm talking about every last one of them. They came from out of town to come. You had some stayed in Little Rock. That came. You know, to the book sign. I'm so thankful for every last one of them, man. It's just a blessing, man. You know, to be able to be able to do that and see that, you know, and to be able to move forward from that, you know. Like I said, I got a lot of more things in works, you know, that I'm trying to do, that I'm gonna do. But man, that book signing, it helped me to understand that, you know, man, you really can do this. But you got to work. You still got to work, you know. It ain't gonna just come to you. You got to work. And that's one thing I believe in. You got to work for whatever you wanna do, because my daddy, stepdad, they always been working men, and that's where I got that from.
Right. That's the example that was shown to you, you know. And I want to give you your props on your book signing, your book release. The phones are lit up. If anyone has a question or a comment, please press 1, and I will see your number. I will open your line when I finish with the interview in a few minutes. But I just really, really want to give you your props and say you're definitely unchained at last. And I want to let our listeners know I, Beverly Blass, the CEO also of Gumble for the Soul Publications, would like to welcome you aboard. You are our latest client, and I'm looking forward to working with you on the future endeavors. And I just want to thank you for trusting us with the next part of the journey that you are stepping into. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a pleasure. And we're going to have a book drop party virtually, in person, however the flow goes. But again, I just want to welcome you aboard Tribe Family Channel and Gumble for the Soul Publications. Now, with that said, let our listeners.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. So back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Had tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than us, a little kid. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama, when things went wrong we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who's thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police. That's right, mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless,
But all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved off, started really hanging.
All right, y'all, I am back live on Unchained at last. My line dropped, but I had to throw in Tupac. We're both celebrating our birthday this Friday, June 16th.
Yeah, yes, for sure, for sure,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, so that was just what I had to do to keep the show live and running because what? This is Tribe Family Channel. We ain't going nowhere. We still talking. So now, my brother, thank you for holding in your patience with me. Anyone that wants to chime in, again, please press 1, and I will definitely open up your line. So segueing to your impending journey and thanking you for bringing us along under the brand Gumbo for the Soul Publications. Tell us, and I see you caller, last two digits, 26. I'll be coming at you and right after this question. Tell us what's on the forefront, my brother, in terms of your vision for future work. If you want to share anything about your future books with the audience or the book that you had the book signing about, let us know what that book title was or is, what that book is about, your next title if you have it, and anything you want to share about your writing endeavors before we open up the phone lines. So area code 810, I see your hand up, and we're going to let this brother answer the question about his books and his writing work.
Okay. The first book was called Ice Girl. That's two words, Ice Girl. It's a fantasy. Uh-huh. She's a superhero character, a young black girl. It's based on bullying, but at the same time, you know, it jumped into the fantasy thing to where she's going against her mom, trying to keep this guy, this young boy. She's trying to kidnap him to keep him from, because he got secret power. He doesn't know that he has secret power, and she needs him, and she needs him dead before so she can take over the world and do what she needs to do for us, doing what she needs to do to take over. So, you know, it's a
ooh,
good read. It's a short
cute.
Read, but
that's
it's a good
cute.
Read.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good read.
Well, and we need our own super heroes and people with superpowers. So, you know, like you said, Ice Girl is a black girl, and she's doing what she needs to do to get what she needs to do. Done. And old boy look like he going to be all gone once she gets it done. So, big
yeah,
up to you
good,
on
it's a good
that.
Read.
All right. And
for my other work, I got a comic book that I just did. It's called Ice Girl, Panic on Earth. You know, I'm not gonna tell the story because I want people to be able to go and get it. And then I was right because I started writing on it, and I don't like telling the story because once I tell a story, I don't want to write on it no more. But I got that going, and I just talked to some woman, finna write a play, see what I can do with that. That's what I've been wanting to do. So I'm working, man. I'm working.
Keep
stuff going, man. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, that's
well,
what
congratulations
I'm
to you. We're going to go to the phone lines, 810 area code. We're going to go ahead and open up your phone line, get your question ready. We're live on Unchained at Last. My guest, Mr. Albert Betts. 27 years behind bars, but he's unchained at last. He has a book that dropped, Ice Girl. It's on Amazon, and we'll be doing some things together through Gumbo for the Soul Publications. So here we go with our caller, 810 area code. Your line is open. Do you have a question or a comment for Mr. Albert Betts? 810 area code. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, Ms. Blight. How are you?
Good afternoon. Who's calling?
This is Albert Betts' mom. I'm calling from Grand Blanc, Michigan.
Oh, hello, Queen. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much for having Albert on. I really appreciate it. I thank you. And I just wanted to call in and say that, well, I have three daughters that I birthed, and Albert is my only son. When he got out, he had three more little sisters, and I guess he like, where they come from? I'm like, I adopted them.
wow.
But I just wanted to call in and support my son. I've been supporting him ever since he's been in the world. So I just wanted to call and tell him that I love him, which he know that I've been talking to him all during the day. So to help him get over this hump, you know, today. So, and I just wanted to call and tell him that I love him. And so far he's been doing a wonderful job. And I thank you so much for having him on your show.
Oh, wow. Albert, do you want to respond to your mom? It is such an honor to hear your voice, Queen, and the love and the support that he has testified about you and all of your family. So I got to turn the call over to your son. What love is this? Ooh.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Take your time.
I really don't know what to say, man, because I know she's been supportive of me all my life, man. Her, you know, and my sisters, man. I'm just thankful for them. And I didn't leave nobody out. I want to say this here, and I just really got upset with myself. But I want to thank my wife too. I want to thank my wife too, Tonya Beck, for being there for me.
All right, now, Mrs. Beck. That's right. All your queens.
I hate I didn't say nothing earlier, but yeah, I want to thank my wife, man. I love my wife, so pretty sure she's listening. Sorry for not mentioning you earlier, but you know I love you, so yeah. But my mom, you know, like I said, she's been there, I can't take nothing from her. I can't take nothing from my sisters. I can't take nothing from no one. You know, they've been there, I'm just glad. I'm just blessed. You know, just a blessing to have all of them. So, you know, I'm not. You know, I it's nothing I really can say to, you know, make it more better. It's just I know what they done for me, every last one of them, you know. So that's all I can say on that.
Wow. Well, Queen Mother, we definitely thank you for the support of your love and family and being by your son's side and he and his wife just, you know, living a new life unchained at the last, and it is a beautiful testimony, and thank you so much for calling in, and I couldn't think of any better thing to be doing today than to hear such love, such family support, and just a real testimony. This is truly, truly a day to reckon with, and so thank you for being here, and I'm sure you and I'll talk again soon. I want to talk to you, Queen. I want to know how you do what you do. You got three more babies. You got six sisters now. We still got to hear from you again.
I would love to talk to you as well, Ms. Black. I thank you so much. God bless.
My honor. And God bless you as well. God bless you. And happy belated Mother's Day. And you know what, Albert? You know, I didn't ask you any adult questions until we got to this point. Everything that I asked you was really about your childhood, and you weren't a married man back then. But I am glad to hear and know that your queen, all right, Mrs. Beck, supportive by your side,
all right? And like you being a reflection of your father and your stepfather, a working man with morals, I know that queen is by your side and she is doing all right. And I just want to say big ups to Mrs. Betts, all right? And I love to talk to her too. And I would love to talk to her too. And so all of your family and friends, you know, the lines are lit up. If you want to press one, we still have time for another question or two, comment, or what have you. And we're going to go ahead and come to you, 870 area code. You're on with Mr. Albert Betts. Go ahead. Welcome to Tri Family Channels, Untamed at Last.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Fine. My name is Sharon. I'm the Shay Rock he was talking about.
All right, Shay Rock in the house, y'all.
Yes. My first cousin. We practically grew up together in Michigan, and we are close. And I just feel
Jesus
came a long way. I'm so excited for him because He has a story to tell, and he has always been humble and patient on things. And when he say he's a family man, he's right. He is definitely a family man. And I just want him to know I love him, and I'm proud of him.
And Mr. Albert Betts, the microphone is yours. Your cousin Shay Rock in the building, y'all.
She know how much I love her, and she know what we've been through, and she know that I got her, you know, front to back. I love her, and she's been there for me. I can't deny that. And she the one, her mother's the one I was talking about. That's her mother, Ollie Bitt, that passed away with the cancer. That's her mother, the one that gave out all the whoopers and stuff. So
All right, Shay Rock. Well, thank you for calling in. We got another hand going up. Another area code 870, and the last numbers is 26. Y'all showing a whole lot of love for this brother, y'all family member. And I just want to say this, Shay Rock. I want to hear some of your music. One of our friends of Tribe Family Channel is Raheem from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. And so, so we're always looking for something that we can do to support, you know. We're connected to a few people in the music industry, and we have the Shy Lights managers listening right now, by the way. The Shy Lights have a show here in Las Vegas tomorrow. We have people that's listening. So if you have something that, you know, you want us to run through the mill, you let me know, okay?
I definitely will. Thank you so much.
I know that's right. You're welcome. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. I'm coming at you 870 with the last numbers of 26. You're on with Mr. Albert Betts. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Annie Miller.
Who do we have?
This is Annie Miller. I'm Albert's sister.
Hey, sis. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I was just calling in to let you know about my brother. It's been a long road. And I say he's determined. He was locked up. He was, you know, writing his book, you know, staying motivated. You know, he did a game and everything. And like, he's a year older than me. You know, we was in Michigan. Mm-hmm. We always have been close and stuff like that. And so, like he said, he's about family, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, I thank God for her because he kept me strong during those 27 years. You know, she stayed in Michigan, and I'm here in Arkansas. But, you know, I didn't have any kids at the time, but I mean, you know, I don't care, you know, whatever he needed or, you know, whatever, you know, I was there, you know.
Wow.
as you know, we real close and we tight. I love my brother. That's my oldest brother. I got two other brothers, but you know, we done bumped heads a couple times, but you know, we still, you know, resolve our problems. And you know, I really appreciate him. Something that he told me, you know, when he got out, you know, he hugged me and told me he loved me, and you know, he appreciate everything. That's all I needed to hear. You know,
I know that's right.
I love my family. You know, we're the close-knit family. Like you're talking about my Auntie Ollie. Go over there. Look, from Friday to Sunday, you was guaranteed to get one or two whoopings before the weekend was out. but my brother and my other cousin, Varnell, they kind of, you know, they was there, but, you know, I'm always running over there every weekend, but they was like, okay, well, we ain't going over in Ollie's house, because they know what was going on over there. Shit, switch, belts, whatever. You got out the way, you was going to get the business. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's my oldest brother, Albert, and I'm the oldest sister, Annie, sister, Martha. And my baby sister, Martha, you know, I love all my family. You know, all families go through things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my cousins, we just like sisters, you know, close, tight-knit, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All our family has, you know what I'm saying? But that's one thing mm-hmm. I can say about my brother. He always, it seemed like he done came in from when my Auntie Ollie passed. My Auntie Ollie was ooh, I love her so much. And, you know, just bring
yes,
back so much memory.
Lord.
But mm-hmm. he always was the one that kept, you know, all of the family together and stuff. You know, we might not see each other every day and, you know, talk and speak to everybody, but, you know, it's always love. All families go through things. Ain't nobody perfect, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, I bet you one thing, this love I'm hearing, you know, sister, let me go ahead and let your brother respond, because it's a lot of love, and if you anybody else that's just joined the show want to speak to this brother, you go ahead and press 1, and, you know, let me let your brother respond to you, because, you know, you feel his emotions. This is everybody giving him love and showing joy and support. And, you know, I'm sure, like he said, you know, he was talking to that young man in prison, and the one thing that he told that brother is that that brother had a date. Okay, this brother didn't have
right.
a date who we talking to, you know?
Not
if you don't
all.
Have a date, what that mean? What does that mean? You didn't give me a date? I got to fight for a date? A conclusion? Oh, Lord.
I
y'all got me
there. Stuck in there with them, you know, and, you know, I try to keep them motivated and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a hard 27 years. It was. It was like I was
well,
doing
all
the
y'all
time.
Have a story.
All of the family was doing the time, you know.
And I don't want to cut you off and cut you short. I'm coming to you, 501 area code. Let me just give them a couple of more seconds here.
Okay.
You know, but what you said before, I'm going to let your brother talk to you for a second. But what you were saying, oh, my goodness. You all have your own stories about the journey. I mean, this journey. You all have your own story and perspective and way of, you know, looking at this journey and how it affected and impacted you. But go ahead and talk to your brother. Or, Albert, go ahead and talk to your sister. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she know. Yeah, we close, man. We very close, man. Always been there for us. She always been there for me, man. I can't take nothing from her, man. I promise I can't take nothing from her. She did exactly what she said she did, man.
That's right.
You know, it's like, you know, I could see it. I don't even have to even try to front to see it. I see it every day, you know, what I've been through and what she's done for me. And, man, it's like I said, it's a blessing, man, for him to be there, man. That's how I stay strong, man. Honestly, that's how I stay strong. Really,
I can tell
too, man,
because I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's the glue.
Yeah,
and you're talking about your auntie. I mean, when you the rock and the glue of the family, you know?
Right.
Well, that woman.
And then y'all gonna try to bypass.
Wow.
And then y'all gonna start scheduling when y'all go over there to bypass the discipline in your whoopings. Y'all better go on over there and get that woman. When we go get to 501 Area Club, since it's a pleasure, I'm open to speaking to any family members. Y'all all have a story to tell. And we have to do an anthology where everybody, each one of y'all have your own story in that book. We're going to have to add that pot on the stove, Albert. And we're going to go ahead and go to the other caller, sis. But thank you again, 810 Area Code. I see you. Let me get to 501 first. And thank you, sis, for calling
all
in, okay?
All right, hold on
and keep listening. All right. You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Albert, you got so much love coming through the lines. Let me get to 501 Area Code. 501 Area Code, who are we speaking to on Unchained at Last?
Martha Miles.
Hey, Martha Miles.
I'm the middle sister of Albert. I basically supported him, been one of his biggest cheerleaders since he's been on the outside world. I'm so happy of the way he's progressed over these years being out here. He's just made so many changes along the way, and I'm just so proud of him and everything that he's accomplished. He definitely doesn't believe in letting anything stop him. He's a very determined person to do whatever it is he say he's going to do, he's going to do it. And that motivates me to want to continue going and try to do more things. When I think about all the things that he does and how he always have the most positive conversations. Every conversation I have with him is always just an easy, free-flowing conversation. He's always just so positive. He usually never tells me anything wrong, I feel. So I definitely feel like he's just a big brother that I know I can trust.
Wow. And you said something, and I lost my thought. I was going to speak on it. Albert, I'm going to let you respond to your little sister. Oh, you said that you were saying something about him, and it reminds me that he's shining the strength and the moral character as a man that was reflected to him because of what you just said, and I think that's just amazing. 810 Area Code, we're coming to you. Let me let Albert respond to his middle sister. And like she said, a cheerleader and a champion to her brother, like his whole family.
Oh, yeah, she definitely, you know, been there for me, man. She right. I don't too much tell her nothing wrong. I ain't too much tell her nothing bad. I always try to keep positive, you know, positive energy with her, regardless of what it is. But like I say, she's another one that's been there for me. I can't deny her. A true blessing, you know. My sister, another sister that my mom didn't had, that's been a blessing to me, man. I got some wonderful sisters, man, that it's been there for me, man. Every last one of them, man. I can't complain, man. I can't complain.
Praise them. Yeah, I know that's right. Well, right on, sis. Praise God for the family. That's all I can say. And we're going to go to caller 810 Area Code, our last caller. But thank you for calling in. And, again, all of you have your own version of the story and the journey that you have lived. And I would love to really read an anthology from your family that has all these different perspectives from the journey. Because, you know, it's true that when someone's doing time, their family does time with them. You know, there's no way around that. There's no way around that, you know.
Right.
So thank you, Little Sis, for calling in. What's your name again?
Martha.
Martha. I knew it was an M. I didn't want to say Mia. Thank you, Martha. We'll talk, okay?
Okay.
All right. God bless you. 810 area code, I'm coming for you. 810 area code. Who are we speaking with live on Unchained at Last on Tribe Family Channel?
This is Bayla Walker. I'm Albert's oldest niece. Just coming in and let you know, Unc, I'm supporting you. I remember traveling the road since I could talk, you know, coming to visit you. And it's amazing to see your growth and, you know, how determined you are to do great things in the world and just try to turn your story around. So I just want you to know that I see you. I know you're doing positive things, and it's all going to pay off one day.
Well, listen to baby girl. Go ahead on, niece. Now, is your mother on one of these calls? Because you said ever since you could talk, somebody had you strapped in the seatbelt, the car seat, or something, and you was on your way too, right?
Yes.
Okay, because you said that you, ever since you could talk. Well, that's a beautiful thing. Albert, did you want to say something to your niece?
Oh, well, yes. yeah, she right. Her mother, when she was born, and she definitely brought, matter of fact, I got two nieces. She definitely brought them down there to see me. They definitely came with her. So, yeah, man, I know exactly what she's saying, man. And, I thank her, man, for supporting me, man. I really do, man. I thank her, man. She's smart.
That's
she one of the smart ones, you know. She one of the
That's
smallest,
right.
man. She just don't know. She just don't know, man. I'm doing what I got to do, but she just don't know. If I ever make it big, I ever get somewhere in life, she's going to be right there with me because she one of the smart ones.
Well, that's right. When you make it, not
yep.
if you ever. You
yeah. Whenever
brother,
I make it, she's going to be right there.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Well, thank you for calling in. He's got you. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show Unchained at Last. This is our premiere episode, and the love, the support, the unity. We have to be mindful that it doesn't matter what stage of our life journey that we're embarking upon, we need our family. We need our family, mm-hmm. and you gave testimony that's what kept you strong, you know,
yeah, what kept
and
me strong.
It's nothing like your foundation. When you feel that your foundation is with you, wherever you are, how could you not be strong? I got to salute you. I got to salute your family. Thank you all for calling in and really, really, really letting us know, you know, just how much love and support is in this family unit. Big up to you, because you really have to, I mean, we're dying to see examples of what I've heard today on Unchained at Last. So, Albert, being Unchained at Last, what final thoughts would you like to give our audience?
I'm going to say this. Well, I said how I started writing what I was doing, how I started writing books. I just want to let everybody know that regardless of their situation, they can do whatever they want to do, whatever they mind telling them to do. You know, it don't matter how chained in you are, how caved in you are, you're only going to do what you allow yourself to do. If you allow yourself to do bad, that's what you're going to do. If you allow yourself to do good, that's what you're going to do. So it's a common ground in between, but you got to find that common ground and do what you need to do in order to make it to that next level. That's all I'm working on. I'm just keeping on working. I'm just putting myself out there to see what I can do, because I know I won't be able to do nothing without working. You must work. That's my advice. You must work and to keep pushing. That's my advice. You got to work. If you don't work at it, ain't nothing going to happen for you.
Well, Well, that's some good advice, my brother, and especially coming from someone that, you know, you have a solid testimony, and at the beginning of your testimony, you testified to the fact that you had men that reflected work ethics in your life. And I feel that that is what you are reflecting as a man walking today, unchained at last. And we're going to go out with Casey and JoJo, Life, because this brother said that you had life. But you've been out for a minute, if I recall. And
yes,
I can't say how long. You can let our audience know if you want to testify to that before we close out. But Unchained at Last, for real.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been out going on 6 years. This year be, well, yeah, 6 years. And, you know, like I said, my family was there. I ended up marrying my wife in prison, been out. We've been together. She was behind me before I even got out.
Come
she was
now.
There for me. I had a life sentence. She was, you know, like I said, she was there too.
Come on.
I mean,
come on.
Even when I had the life sentence, she still, you know, she still was willing to marry and be with me. Didn't even know that I was going to get out, you know. Didn't even know I was going to get out. So it's a blessing,
See?
Man. It's a blessing,
See?
Man.
Come on.
So, you know, I mean, it's just a blessing, man, you know. I see everything. I see everything. I just, you know. Just got to put everything in order to get where I need to go. That's all I need to do. So, you know, now I'm going to work on that, and I'm going to ask God to give me the strength to work on that. So, you know, it is what it is. We just got to ask God to give us what we need to get where we need to go. So,
well,
you know,
you know, speaking of your wife, speaking of your wife and God, the word tells us when a man findeth a wife, he find it a good thing, brother.
Right, right, right.
So we already know Mrs. Betts is your good thing from God, and your union,
right,
and your family, and everything that God has for you, brother, it is for you. You are unchained at last, and we are signing off on Tribe Family Channel. You can reach us at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. Facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International.com family brand. So if you want to be a sponsor, a moderator, if you want to run a commercial through our airwaves, even if you want to give a testimony, I would love to talk to you right here on Unchained at Last. Thank you once again, Mr. Albert Betts, and it's an honor and a privilege to work with you on the next leg of your journey. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. And thank you all for listening and tuning in. Good night, and God bless.
Okay, thank you.
Just like a bird, I just want to fly free. And I own a piece of land somewhere off in a country. Oh, hey, listen. Temperatures like 100 degrees. Like I got chains on me. Black male in the family of three. Been proud of my destiny. And I'll fly away, cause it's too much for the man. Shimmer gone down this way. What happened to my master plan? Cause I can't figure out, I could have been a love child. Shimmer gone down this way. Tell me, how did I get lost? Somebody done me wrong, done.
Let's